Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the editor-in-chief for the Quarterly Review of Film and Video, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and Robin Hood Radio's very own critic and guide to all things cinematic. He joins us weekly, The Films, Zola, Bill Trailer, Chasing Ghosts, and Hemingway. I detect a theme. Hi, David. How are you?
Doing okay, Jill. How are you doing this week?
Won't complain.
Good. Well, we have a holiday weekend here, although none of these are especially holiday films, but there is a theme in the sense that, even though they have nothing else in common at all, they all have names in their titles. And the first one, and actually they're all the names of real people, I guess, because the first movie, which is called Zola, it has nothing whatever to do with the great French novelist Émile Zola, who is actually a favorite author of mine. Unfortunately, this is about a totally different person, but it is about somebody named Zola. And this movie has been getting a tremendous amount of buzz, largely for its connection with social media. And that is because the movie itself is based on a thread of tweets, a lot of tweets, almost 150 tweets that were published on one day in 2015. All this is for real. One day in 2015 by a woman named Isaiah King, nicknamed Zola. And the movie is based on these tweets. So, you know, it's sort of like, you know, you've read the tweets, now see the movie. In any case, whether or not you've read the tweets, now you can see the movie. So here is what the movie is about. And I have to say that it is a movie which has a bright side. It's very bouncy and upbeat in its style, full of color and energy and fast cutting and all of that. But it's very, very dark in some of its subject matter. So not to go into it too much, because the plot is not really the main thing. The mood is maybe the main thing about the movie. But we have two young women who meet each other sort of by chance. One of them is black and one of them is white. And one of them is saying to us in the audience, you want to hear about how she and I fell out? Well, I'll tell you the story. It's kind of long, but it's very suspenseful. And I guess in a way it sort of is. And then we get that story. And long into the movie, the other woman says, you want to hear how we fell out? Well, I'll tell you that. So they're both sort of telling their side of the story, but it mainly comes from the side of the black woman, Zola. It's really her story, and the movie focuses on her almost all the way through. So what happens is from their meeting, we go on and we see various adventures they had. Zola is a waitress, and she is waiting on the other woman, whose name is Stefani, and they sort of get to know each other and get to be friends sort of with each other. And it turns out that they're both pole dancers. They're both exotic dancers. And the next day, the white woman invites the black woman to come with her on a road trip to Tampa. They're in Florida, where they can dance at a strip club and make a whole lot of money really fast. And Zola just says, oh, what the heck? Sure, let's go do that. As soon as she gets into the car, however, for the trip with a couple of other people, including Stefani's boyfriend and the driver of the car, turns out to be a pimp. And it turns out that these two women are now about to be coerced into becoming sex workers. And Zola wants nothing to do with this, and she tries to get right out of the car right at that moment. But, oh, this is not, she's not going to manage to do that. She is really being forced into this. And the two of them then go on and have all kinds of adventures along the way, some of which involve money, some of which involve that pimp character who is known through most of the movie simply as X. And anyway, all kinds of things happen to them. So as for me, at least, pretty much any movie that deals with a woman who is a sex worker is going to have a very dark side to it. And this certainly does. There's a lot of coercion involved. There's a certain amount of violence involved. And eventually the movie gets really violent and really sort of harrowing, which is kind of a surprise, given, as I said, how sort of bouncy and upbeat the mood of the movie often tends to be. But the two women are strong. They are feisty characters. They have conflicts with each other. They have conflicts with the pimp. They have conflicts with various men who show up in the story. And there are some interesting secondary characters along the way. One of the things that is being said about the movie Zola is that it is really revealing and fascinating about social media, since this whole thing is based on tweets, and social media do play various parts in the story. But to me, the movie had almost nothing interesting to say or reveal about social media. That's, I think, you know, it's sort of a premise of the movie, but I think that the idea that this movie is somehow an insight into social media is sort of nonsense. I think the movie, the interest that it has, and it did interest me at certain points along the way, is the interest that it has is the story of the two women, their relationship, and they're finding themselves in situations which are very harrowing and basically which both of them have really hard troubles dealing with. There's also interesting things in the movie, obviously, about race and class and things like that. But I found Zola mildly interesting to watch. It's not very long. That's in its favor. And again, the main thing I just want to let everybody know is that if you're expecting a movie which will be revealing in some way about the role of social media in people's lives, it is not that for my money. It is a mildly interesting sort of sexual adventure story. Second movie today, Jill, is very different because it's a documentary. In fact, our other two movies today are both documentaries. Bill Traylor, Chasing Ghosts, is a really, really interesting story about an artist named Bill Traylor. He was born in 1853. And he lived, by the way, into his 80s. And so born in 1853 in the American South, he was a slave when he was born. He was born into slavery. And he then lived a very, very long life. And during that life, he spent a lot of his time making art. In fact, he did some traveling, visited relatives and others, and sort of went to different cities around the country. But mainly he lived in Montgomery, Alabama, and he spent almost all of his time in Montgomery, Alabama. And he spent a lot of that time sitting at a little table out in the street of the town making his little art, which is very modest art. It's mainly sort of little drawings with little colors and little sort of crude outlines, but it's kind of interesting art. And certainly one of the people in the movie, in fact, more than one person in the movie, but one who is a very major art critic for a major American publication, another one of whom is a curator at the Museum of Modern Art in New York, make the case that he is a major artist, a major American artist who has been overlooked all these years and is now finally getting some recognition. So that's kind of interesting. Looking at the art in the movie, I can't see much about it that is major. It's interesting, it's likable, it's engaging. I certainly think it's good art. I think it's very nice art. I can't imagine that it will ever be regarded by most authorities as major art. That said, Bill Traylor himself was an interesting character who spent did a lot of drinking, a lot of sort of hanging out, had very complicated relationships with women and so forth. And again, it's just so fascinating to think that this guy who lived very much into our own time, was actually born into slavery, and that informs a lot of his art. And certainly, race is a very, very major focus of this movie. My big complaint about Bill Traylor Chasing Ghosts is that the art appears on the screen for very brief periods of time. Of course, this is a movie, but my gosh, nothing is on the screen for more than just a very few seconds, and I sometimes wish something would linger for a little bit longer, even if somebody wanted to be talking on the soundtrack at the same time, so I could just examine it and sort of sink into it a little bit more, let it sink into me a little bit more. The movie moves a little bit too much, I am afraid. That said, it gives us a very nice glimpse into this guy's art. It gives us a nice overview of what his life and art were about, and it gives us a very interesting little documentary portrait of a person who, again, was born into worse than poverty, born into slavery, became an artist, created art through decades and decades of life, while also living a very active family life and a very active sort of life of guys like him sort of lived over many decades of American history. So it's an interesting movie, and I enjoyed watching it. Near the end, it gets a little bit much into the testimonials by experts, and especially the testimonials by his own descendants, who also, many of them, appear as talking heads in the movie. And the movie got kind of boring, maybe in its last 15 or 20 minutes. Then again, the movie itself is not that much over an hour long, so there's a lot in it that's interesting. And if you're interested in race in America, if you're interested in art in America, and especially if you're just interested interested in a sort of interesting biographical documentary, I recommend Bill Traylor, Chasing Ghosts. And finally, the movie Hemingway, which is a very different kind of a thing. It is another biographical documentary. In this case, it's really about just the person who you would expect it to be about. It is about Ernest Hemingway, one of the greatest of all American writers. And I must say, you know, I've read plenty of Hemingway over the years, and I have tremendous admiration for him. He's not one of my absolute favorite writers, and I have others who I prefer in the sort of American modernist vein of the 20th century, but he's a very, very great and hugely influential American writer, novelist, and short story writer, and sometimes nonfiction writer as well. And here we have a very, very major, large-scale documentary about him by Ken Burns and Lynn Novak. Ken Burns being an enormously important American documentary maker, of course, best known, I suppose, still for his Civil War documentary back from the early 90s, and then his Civil War documentary. And he's done many others. And of course, most of them are TV miniseries. And here I am sort of cheating here because we talk mainly about theatrical movies on Films in Focus, Chill, but Hemingway is in fact a TV movie in three parts. It has three episodes, each of which is roughly 2 hours long. So that adds up to about a six-hour movie, but it's really a movie. It's not really a TV series, and I feel perfectly comfortable crossing the line, especially nowadays in this coronavirus epic when there have been so many major films which have made their premieres and, in fact, only played as streaming attractions that you look at on your home screen. I have no second thoughts at all about treating Hemingway as a regular movie, because in a way it is a roughly 6 hour long regular movie that you can watch in three installments. So, how is it as a movie? Well, first of all, it really covers the territory. We get everything here from Hemingway's birth and earliest life, his growing up, his somehow deciding that he was fascinated with writing, that he wanted to become a writer, his tremendous work and discipline. That's a big theme of this show, of this movie. The tremendous work and discipline that he took into becoming a writer. He was a very hardworking and a very self-disciplined writer in all ways. Then he gets involved in war. He gets involved in as an ambulance driver, first of all, in World War I. He is very involved in the Spanish Civil War, somebody who goes over there largely to cover the war as a correspondent, but he gets involved in it as well. And then later, way later in the series, he gets involved in World War II, where he goes again as a correspondent, but he gets very much involved in actual fighting. So, yeah, there's that war aspect of it. Better known about Hemingway, though, probably than his war exploits, which were very important, were his fascinations with certain kinds of sports. Yes, we have the fishing in there, the big sea fishing, which had its final fruit near the end of his career in the movie, in the story, the novella, really, The Old Man and the Sea. But we also have his fascination with bullfighting, and he wrote a lot about bullfighting, and he traveled around Spain, traveled around with bullfighters, followed bullfighters, became a real aficionado and authority and expert on bullfighting. I personally have no use for bullfighting. I think it's repulsive. But he found it the opposite. He really loved it, and he made it into a very serious passion of his life, not being a bullfighter, of course, but being somebody who wrote about bullfighting and knew all there was to know about bullfighting. And, of course, he had a very close relationship with Europe, spent a lot of time in Paris, knew people like Gertrude Stein, was very involved with the great modernist movement over there, Gertrude Stein, Sylvia Beach, those fabulous characters from the 20s in Paris. And then he was also really involved in Spain with the bullfighting and all that, and Mexico and so forth, although he always remained very much an American and spent most of his time living and working in America. He also had various wives, and his relationships with his wives were really, really fraught. Some of them were good, strong women who could pretty much stand up to him and eventually had enough and got out. Some of them he really dominated and treated in miserable ways, and that's another very important aspect of Hemingway. A really interesting thing about Hemingway, in my opinion, is that it really, really, really does not, I would say, give undue attention but gives a lot of due attention to his real failings as a human being, both with his wives and his children and some of his friends. He was very dominating. He was a very sort of overbearing personality in a lot of ways. His writing gave him a lot of trouble, even though he was very disciplined at it and had tremendous success. Sometimes it was really hard work and put tremendous psychological pressure on him and therefore on all the people around him. And he did a whole lot of drinking, which had a whole lot of of really deleterious effects. Also, he seems to have been stalked by the specter of concussions. He had any number of head injuries. And as this, as Hemingway shows near the end, if this really caught up with him, the drinking and the concussions really damaged his mind. And near the end, there are just some scenes which are just pathetic in just the difficulty that he had in just getting through the most ordinary and simple of everyday tasks, even while he was still writing and thinking that his writing was great, even when it was becoming much, much, much less than great. And his career in the end sort of fizzled out. And of course, he died by suicide, which is an incident that I remember from my own experience, reading about it and so forth. And so the series comes to a tragic end, but of course it's a necessary end. I found Hemingway very conventional in the way it's made, but absolutely riveting in its subject matter. So again, if you're interested even a little bit in American literature, in American history of the 20th century, in a really fabulous American artist celebrity who experienced so many of the things that most of us didn't get to experience during the 20th century, I totally recommend Hemingway. A very ordinary movie, but a riveting and fascinating one. So that is my pretty much biographical story this week, Jill.
For which we thank you, as ever and always, David Sterrett. Films in Focus, the films Zola, Bill Traylor, Chasing Ghosts, and Hemingway.